So if we could all stand as we read from James 1, 22 through 27. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Father, we thank you for this morning and this time together as a family. And Lord, we pray now in this moment that our minds and our hearts are open to your Spirit. May your Spirit work in us and transform us more into your likeness. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Now, I don't know about you, but I think all of us have some form of a daily routine. You know, a set of practices, a set of habits that we do during the day. I don't know what that looks like for you when your alarm goes off, but generally, from the moment that our alarm goes off, from waking up in bed and everything in between, generally we have a set of things that we do. I mean, do you know what I'm talking about here? Can you agree with me? If you think about your day, you have kind of a set of things. And in fact, for most of this, we can kind of put ourselves on cruise control. We can kind of put ourselves on cruise control and just get up, do what we want to do, get to work, get back home, eat something, and then go back to bed and just do it all over again the next morning. And the whole time in between that, from waking up to going to bed, we get ourselves in almost a zombie-like state. We can like walk through it and not notice anything around us. Not notice what anybody really says, what goes on around us in our environment. We can just kind of sleepwalk through the day. Now, that's not an indictment on anybody as we move forward, not at all. It's just this, that we have these routines that we've gotten really good at. And I don't know what, and I've talked about this before, and I don't know if we realize it, but these routines and habits have a way of shaping us, have a way of kind of making us who we are. They do things to us. And I'm going to propose in this series that we transform those routines and habits that we do and shape them and help them shape us into more of the image that James is telling us in James 1. Instead of being the guy who looks in the mirror and then walks away not noticing, we actually notice what the Word of God is doing in our lives and we allow that to go through everything. Because here's what's going on in our life. And I was talking about this, I was talking about this with a friend of mine who I go work out with at 5 a.m., and these guys who I work out with, I'm the only minister there, and so there are days in which they'll actually say, so, preach, what are you preaching on this week? And I go off on like a 10-minute tangent, and they're like, sorry, I asked. I mean, you get it, right? But I was talking about what I was going to preach on, and just about kind of the ordinary days of life, and he said, hey, I get it, man. I'm just glad that I wake up in the morning every day. He goes, the fact that I can get up at 5 a.m., everything is good after that. And when we think about that, I mean, that's probably how a lot of our days are. The fact that we woke up is good enough. The fact that we got up, the alarm went off and we got up, everything is fine. We're doing the best that we can. And fine is that very interesting word. If you've ever had kids, you know what it's like when you say, hey, how was your day? And they go, fine. Anything else? No, it's fine. And they just walk away. Now, our kids do that. But how many times have you done that? How many times have people, coworkers, your husband or wife, your kids asked you, hey, mom, dad, how was your day? Fine. And then you go about doing what you're doing, maybe, you know, watching the Masters, that's on today, by the way, or something like that. In fact, we've gotten my four-year-old, my four-year-old has gotten in a habit of just out of the blue in some part in the day. Like, it's not a set routine in the Franz household. He all of a sudden just blurts out, what was your favorite part of the day? Like, he forces you to think about the day in a way, and you better come up with something. Because for Isaac, it's not just what was your best part of the day. He'll come back later and was like, what is your second best part of the day? So, like, having one is not good enough. You have to have a second one, too. But he kind of just blurts it out in the middle of the day, and it kind of jolts you into realizing that, you know, we had a day before us, right? And something was going on. And as Christians, most of the time, we talk about just our days being fine. And as Christians, when we think about our days and how we map them out and how they're counted, we have two big days as Christians, right? We have Christmas and we have Easter, which we just had last week. Those are the two big ones. We have a time in which, even here at church, that we started doing beginning in December, leading up into Christmas, kind of the Advent season, right? So we have 4 or 5 weeks before that we're kind of prepping ourselves for Christmas. And then for Easter, depending on how we set it up, we kind of prep ourselves for Easter, walk ourselves into with Palm Sunday, and then Easter. And those are our two big events, the times that we get excited for as Christians. But here's the thing. If we looked at the Christian calendar, half of the Christian calendar actually calls itself this, and maybe you notice it, ordinary time. Half the Christian calendar is set up in just a series of time that's just called ordinary. Not Easter, not Christmas, just ordinary. And so when we think about it, we have our two big days, our two big kind of times, and then we just have ordinary days. Ordinary days in ordinary times in which we try to figure out just how to make it through this life. Ordinary days in which can either leave us exhausted, or ordinary days in which we try to fill up with everything that we can possibly do, so we in turn make ourselves exhausted. You know, it's kind of this interesting thing. We can be really tired from doing nothing and just sit on the couch, or we can be really tired from doing a ton of stuff that we just poured into our calendar because, well, we got to find something to do in our ordinary days. We don't want them to be completely boring. And I like what Henry Nouwen says here. He says, both types of people, the type of people who just sit around and do nothing in their days, or the types of people who try to fill out their calendars, both types of people, the running around ones and the just sitting there ones, are not moving anywhere. Think about that. We do all of our stuff in the ordinary times. We do all of our stuff in the days that we call fine, and we're really not moving anywhere. We're kind of just going through the motions. We're not noticing what's going around us. We don't even think about this. What if this ordinary time that we're talking about in our ordinary days, what if we begin to see these days as opportunities to experience God? What if instead of just walking through our days like zombies, walking through our days, just sleepwalking through them, we begin to see our routines and practices as sacred moments, as moments that have the opportunity to shape us into doers instead of just hearers? And I like this because as we begin to think about this, as we begin to think about the idea that God is in all moments, right? Not just some, but in all moments. That God is in all days, not just the big days, but all days. We begin to think about everything that we do in our ordinary day, all of our routines, all of our habits, all of our traditions, all of those things as things that can shape us. As things that can kind of make us who we are, to realize that the Holy Spirit can work in all of these events, and to where we can almost think about our ordinary time as being anything but ordinary. And so it brings us to the text in James, right? This text in James, in James 1, in verse 22, where it says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, but do what it says. It's where we can become doers instead of just hearers. And here's the thing about this, as he says this, like, don't just hear it, but do it. just prior to this text, just one verse over, James says this in verse 21. He says, therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that is the power to save your souls. This word that James says has been planted inside of us and is doing something to us, right? A seed that has been planted in soil, and what comes out from that seed depends on the soil that is in there. I think we've all heard that story from Jesus at one time. But that James is saying the seed that has been planted in us can do something to us. It takes time, but it has the power to be more than just something in us in which we talk about, in which we know, but we don't do anything about. And what we notice here is James talks about this kind of, he uses a garden metaphor in verse 21 with this implanted seed. He moves over into verse 23 and 24 and talks about this metaphor of a mirror, you know, looking at yourself in a mirror. And he says, here's the thing. Some of us have this tendency of walking by the mirror, taking a glance, walking away, and then forgetting what they glanced at as they walked away. It's like, as James is saying, we're not willing to be attentive to our own lives and what's going on in our lives and what's shaping our life and what's forming our life. And we're not willing to take the time to stand in front of the mirror and think about what God is doing in us and what God could do for us. But instead, we're just going to look in the mirror, take a glance, and then rush off to do the next thing. Rush off to get to where we need to get because my calendars tell me I'm supposed to be there. Rush off to do that next thing that we hope will fill us, that we hope will do something for us, because these are the dog days of summer. This is just ordinary time. I got to figure out something to do and something to be. And in both of these metaphors, we see this kind of call to perseverance, a call to a life that is, as James is writing this, it is constantly reminding us that the Spirit is all around us, that the Spirit is doing something. And here's the thing, when we heard the voice of God in our life, we talked about Easter last week and this amazing thing that God did through Christ and the resurrection. When we've confessed that, when we become Christians, we're actually saying that God is calling our lives to a completely new perspective of seeing things. That God has implanted a spirit in our lives that has the power to transform everything that we do if we're willing to do it. If we're willing to be more than just hearers. You've heard it. Great. You know it. Great. What are you going to do about it? You know, as people of the Church of Christ in the Restoration Movement, if there's one thing we're really good at, we are great hearers. We have always been amazing hearers. We've always been great at knowledge. Sometimes we struggled with actually putting the knowledge into practice. I myself included, as one who my wife can attest, has been in way too many years of school. There are a lot of times I can get focused on books and other things and not realize what I need to be doing as Jesus. When the Spirit enters into our life, what James is saying is a new focus and a new perspective takes hold. We notice things differently. But here's the thing. As life gets hard, as life becomes more ordinary, as life becomes more tedious, it is incredibly easy to reduce faith and reduce spiritual exercise to Sundays and possibly Wednesdays. And you know what I'm talking about. We can reduce it down to we come to Sunday morning church. Maybe we attend a couple of Wednesday nights. Possibly we go to a retreat or two. And then we'll throw in a Bible study. And we can reduce it to kind of a list that we can check off. I've been there, I've been there, I've been there, I've been there, I've been there. Move on, my life is good. Right? We become really good hearers. We become really good check off the list people. And I know there are a lot of people in here who like to check things off. It makes you feel great. That's awesome. But that's what we kind of can reduce faith to. And we're missing the bigger picture that James is telling us and that we see in Easter, that God didn't just redeem some of the days. God didn't just redeem Easter. He didn't just redeem Christmas. But in Christ, we see God putting on the flesh and redeeming all of our lives. And so here's what I'm hoping for. From waking up to going to work to eating meals to going to the grocery store to even texting and washing our hands, that while each of these feels like an ordinary, mundane task in our life, we can, over the next 6 weeks or 7 weeks, begin to see that each of these has the power to be a sacred moment, a routine in which the Spirit points us to a deeper life of God. And I know it's hard for us to see it. I know it's hard for us to say, Russell, how can texting help me see God better? Well, you come back in like 4 weeks and I'll tell you how. But it can. But here's the thing. James is trying to make the case, as we read, that faith grows as it is enacted in our life, in our lives. Faith enacted in our lives will mean a constant and ongoing attentiveness to all the moments in our life. And it will cause us to do things to remind us that each moment is holy, not just certain days, but all days. And what we witness with God in the flesh in Christ is that the sacred Jesus entered into the ordinary and mundane things. I know we don't think about this a lot. We hear at times people talk about it, but do you realize Jesus, he hung out, he ate, he probably laughed. We know he cried. We know he got mad. Jesus did all of these things. By the way, everything that you're probably going to do today, everything you're going to do today, the one who was God in the flesh came and did all of those, and in doing those, we begin to see that Jesus participated and showed us that each moment, that everything we do has the potential to be something not just ordinary, but extraordinary. It's as if Jesus said, hey, guys, let me pull the veil back and show you where heaven can meet earth. Let me show you that every moment has the moment to be something amazing. And I know this can be difficult for us to grasp. And I know that it's hard for us to think that what I do from waking up into going to bed has some kind of potential and holy moment. Because you're like, Russell, my days are so boring. And in the days of COVID, I get it. Like, literally, I open up my computer and I look on my computer and that's it. Well, what if I were to tell you that even in those habits, we can find ways to make them holy moments, to make you see beyond the veil that's being covered and see them as places in which God is meeting you and that you can see God in others, in which each day, an ordinary day, can be an extraordinary day. So what I'm proposing is that all of life, all of your moments can be a sacrament to Jesus. I like this, what Hans Brisma said. And he said this, and it got me. But this is what he said. He said, for the patristic and medieval mindset, so for the early church fathers and the medieval mindset, when that the kind of the church was being formed, the world was, as the poet Gerald Manley Hopkins famously put it, charged with the grandeur of God. Think about that. Charged everything God was in. Even the most basic created realities that we observe as human beings carry an extra dimension, as it were. That's what I want us to see, that everything we do carries an extra dimension in it. So imagine what this could be for us as we live this way. Imagine what it could be if we see beyond just the ordinary days and that God is working in the ordinary days. Then we can truly live into that second part where what James talks about, where religion is not just hearing and doing nothing, but now it becomes us noticing everything and everyone in every moment, that even our lenses and our eyes change. We have a sacramental lens. We see everything as holy. We realize the image of God in all people. We get caught up that God is working even in the most ordinary situations and routines. When we see that God has even redeemed those moments in Christ, then that's good news. Because God didn't just let you out to hang until, I don't know, next Christmas. But instead, God is working in you today, informing you today, and transforming you more into the beauty of who He is. And so my proposal is this, that the ordinary is sacred and that the ordinary is holy. That the things that we do, and we're going to look at a few of them, we're going to look at eating meals together, we're going to look at washing our hands, we're going to look at texting one another, we're going to look at a lot of different things and how each of those routines and habits we can kind of tweak to where it reminds us of the goodness of God in the moment, to where it reminds us when you're texting somebody, bless somebody when you text. How can I, as every text I make, bless somebody with it? That each thing that we do has a way of becoming a powerful moment in which God is present to remind us and to shape us and to form us that God is at work. That's my hope for these ordinary days, over the next few weeks, that as we look at these things, we see ways in which God is working and is working through you in each of those. So we're not just hearers trying to make it through the day, not noticing anything, but instead we become doers, noticing and doing God in our life. If you have any needs this morning, I'll be down front. An elder will be down front. Come now as we stand and as we sing.